Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 9. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
Yes, Josh is joining us as a special guest on loan from firstshowing.net.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We may not return you.
Yeah, well, there's always that possibility as well. Just lock you in the closet.
Hello! Yeah, I'd be fine. I start school next week.
We just might take you up on that. Since we are no longer constrained to just doing theatrical releases anymore, you're going to be getting more content for your entertainment dollar, even though you're not paying anything. But we're going to be talking about both theatrical releases and DVD releases. So why don't you kick us off, Barry?
Absolutely. Last week in limited release, you had The King of Con, A Fistful of Quarters, a movie about playing the ultimate of old school Atari games, King Kong. In limited release, Frank Oz is Death at a Funeral. The super great movie of the universe, Super Bad. Colin Firth, action hero in The Last Legion.
Wow.
Don't show emotion. Don't fall asleep. But whatever you do, don't feed them after midnight. Nicole Kidman and Daniel Craig in the remake of The Gremlins? Invasion.
I wish it was Gremlins 3. That would
I
be
wish
awesome.
It was Gremlins 3.
This thing's been getting bad, bad word.
I'm sorry. I was just thinking about Gremlins 3.
You know, yeah. I tried twice to go see this movie, and I can't find anyone to go with me. And I don't want to, if it's bad, I don't want to sit there by myself and just like sulk.
Because it's more fun to make fun of a movie with someone else.
Yeah, I just by myself like, this sucks. Somebody throws popcorn at me or something.
So. Yeah, well, the wife and I decided to go see Becoming Jane last night instead.
And that was a good bonding experience?
You know, we really enjoyed it. I have to say, something that's a little bit of a tangent. Shocker, us on a tangent. The Cinemark First Look. A lot of these theaters are doing a first look. I was wondering, I'm like, you know, for all these movies I've been seeing, them have been action movies. Are we going to see, you know, stuff for The Bionic Woman and stuff like that? And turns out, no, not so much. They had like something about some little creatures on Animal Planet that they make look like a soap opera. And, you know, it's not necessarily good or bad, but I think it's worth noting that they are actually kind of customizing that content to what movie you're going to see.
Yeah, that's cool. I know that I went and saw Ratatouille and they had a kid's first look thing.
That's cool. And, you know, we had a good time at the movie, too. I know you didn't enjoy it too much, but
no, I didn't like Becoming Jane as much, but you know, you could do a lot worse this summer.
I have to say, Anne Hathaway was pretty solid.
She was great.
And James McAvoy was fun. Yes. He was great. Yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, you might get some like supporting noms out of that or something, possibly. I don't know.
If it continues to expand and do well, there's a good possibility of that. It just seems like it's one of these summer movies that really isn't sticking so much. Like, it's doing well in limited release, but it's not, like, really exploding the way
it's not going gangbusters, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Superbad the second time held up just as good.
Awesome.
So, definitely go see it if you haven't seen it yet.
Your parents didn't quite feel the
My parents were very uncomfortable watching it with me, but that's okay. Need to put them through something, so. No, but it was, they liked it a lot, and it was just as good the second time, so.
Did they see a little bit of like Michael Cera's character in you, and did it make them uncomfortable to think this is what Josh is doing?
Yeah, they're probably like, "Oh, this is what he's doing in college." Oh no, I don't know if that was uncomfortable, if it was just the.
Well, you're in Boulder.
Yeah, yeah, good. No, but like the
Superbad's like any Saturday night in Boulder.
Yeah,
really.
any Monday night in Boulder. No, but like all the you know, because it's pretty much is a guy's movie, and like, it's guy humor and stuff, and I think it was more my mom not hearing that kind of conversation between people before.
Sure.
Because they say some pretty raunchy stuff.
Yeah, I got to say, and I'm glad you mentioned that. My buddy Jeff mentioned he'd seen and he loved the movie, but he said, you know, when I was that age, I never talked quite that dirty before. Like, he'd never, like he said, like he had a potty mouth as much as anybody in high school, but like he'd never heard like some of the conversations that those two had. It didn't seem real. It almost seemed it was like a little too much at times.
Well, and I know that my friends and I will talk about subjects like that, but we never go in detail about, you know, hiding things, you know,
Sure.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's still the funniest thing I've seen all year.
Though. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I'll have to catch it at some point. I was going to, and certain things fell through.
So. Tangent. I bought the soundtrack. It's freaking awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah, I will get you a copy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Legal copy of it.
Oh, thank you. You're going to buy me a copy?
Yeah, I'm going to go purchase it at my local Best Buy. No, but it's awesome. All the music in it, the funk music.
Everything's in the opening song.
Awesome.
On.
Like, oh, yeah. Listen to it all the way here. It's like, yeah. So.
Nice. Excellent.
Wow. Okay. And then King of Kong has actually been getting a lot of good word.
Yeah, I've heard this is a really good documentary. A lot of fun. It's one of the few documentaries that could really branch out, obviously, because of the wide appeal of the subject.
I believe Picture House is doing this. Same people who did Air Guitar Nation.
Yep.
So I, it kind of makes
There's
sense.
There's some hip cats over there at Picture House.
Yeah, so, you know,
and
we're...
Pans, right? Pans? Did they do Pan's Labyrinth?
Yes, they did.
Yes, yeah. they did.
That's right, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I still stand by the fact that I think Eric Encarnacion should be nominated for Best Documentary.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the most enjoyable films I've seen all year, still.
Yeah, so yeah. And we'll be talking about that again in a little bit, but, you know, it sounds like they're really building up a, you know, a good staple.
They're becoming the new Miramax, which is great. There needs to be a new Miramax.
Indeed. All right, let's go ahead and talk about this week's DVDs coming out this Tuesday.
All right, we've got Parker Posey in a critically acclaimed performance in Broken English. The X, now available in an unrated edition where you get to see all of Jason Bateman, if you know what I mean. The Oscar-nominated, in fact, excuse me, the Oscar-winning The Lies of Others, which beats Pan's Labyrinth for Best Foreign Language Film.
Psst.
Bruce Willis and Halle Berry in this year's worst film so far, Perfect Stranger, unfortunately not about Mr. Appleton and Balky. Eddie Griffith starring in another one of the year's worst movies, Redline, The Poor Man's Too Fast, You Furious. The Ultimate Gift starring Abigail Breslin, one of the best films of all time, RoboCop in its 20th anniversary edition, and one of the ultimate geek movie cult classics, Joss Whedon's Serenity, now in a collector's edition. Let's talk about that. Do you know what's on this collector's edition?
Oh, you know, I actually need to pull it up here a minute, so go ahead and talk about something else. Okay. While I'm looking at it.
Well, you know what? I'm going to...
Did you see Redline?
Oh.
Has anyone seen that?
No.
No, I refuse to.
It was,
yeah, I forgot
it was
what it was.
If it's a poor man's Fast and the Furious?
Yeah. Well, I forgot what it was. I was looking at the outline. I'm like, what is Red Lion? And Dave's like, oh, it's that racing movie. I was like, oh, yeah.
It was weird because, like, they did more promos for the kind of cars that are in the movie than they actually did for the film itself.
Yeah, I didn't even know what it was about.
Yeah, I didn't even know what the plot was. I just read that, like, you know, if you think Fast and the Furious is, like, the greatest movie of all time, don't go anywhere near Red Lion. If you have taste, don't go anywhere near Red Lion. So.
Well, I totally forgot about the X, too.
Yeah, that was in theaters like a month ago. Or?
Well, and okay, I have a job that lets me get access to some of these DVDs. Haven't really been able to bring myself to watch any of them. I checked out Perfect Stranger. I'm like, I'm going to take what, you know.
You actually saw it?
No.
Okay.
I checked it out, and I thought, you know, I've already sat through Epic Movie. I don't think I really need to subject myself to anything else.
Mm.
And I've got The Ultimate Gift with me right now. I just haven't watched it yet. But I will be buying Serenity. But yeah, keep going.
You saw Perfect Stranger, right, Barry?
I did. I saw it at the Dollar Theater, the cheap theater. And I got to say, even then I felt completely ripped off. It's, you know, with Norbit, I kind of knew from the reviews that I was going to get screwed. But with Perfect Stranger, I expected a mediocre movie. I was not expecting a film that was so much worse than Norbit.
Was it better than Mr. Brook?
Oh no, Mr. Brooks is like The Usual Suspects compared to Perfect Stranger.
Oh really?
Perfect Stranger is astonishingly bad. It's like it's Halle Berry's worst performance, and that's really saying something. And Bruce Willis gets outacted by his hairpiece in this movie, which is so amazingly unconvincing. And I love Bruce Willis, but this is another one of those movie mistakes that I'm sure people will forget about over time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just, I couldn't believe how bad Perfect Stranger was. I mean, everything from the dialogue, the plot, which I mean. It's everybody talks about how laughable it is, but to me, it's just, I couldn't believe how moronic they expect the audience to be to see this film.
Fair enough. So. And you know, RoboCop apparently has the X-rated cut as well as the R-rated cut.
And I got to say, though, I bought the RoboCop trilogy that MGM put out about 3 years ago, which has RoboCop 1, 2, and 3, and it only has the RoboCop unrated version and a couple making of featurettes. It's like the exact same version as this 20th anniversary edition. The only thing the 20th anniversary edition is different.
It's got anamorphic. It's got a new transfer.
And it does not have the R-rated version, and it has a featurette about the villains of the movie, so you actually get interviews with like Miguel Ferrer and Kurtwood Smith. But yeah, otherwise, it's like if you have the RoboCop trilogy special edition that came out, it's like you don't really need the 20th anniversary edition, so I've been told.
But is the X-rated version a lot different from the R version?
It's more intense.
It's more intense, and there's so much more to the scenes, like the infamous boardroom scene where Ed 209 blows that guy to pieces. It goes on longer, and the scene is actually so much funnier when it goes on longer. When it's shorter, it's actually more intense and more of a visceral effect. It's really funny how that is. Like, the more cartoonish the violence is, the funnier it is.
Yeah.
So and honestly, I think it makes for a better movie.
Cool. Okay, so. I have pulled up what's on the Serenity DVD.
All right, let's hear this.
DVDtalk.com actually has done a review of it already. Oh. But let's see here. Looks like it has a lot of the original scenes. The big one for me that makes it worth the price of an upgrade by itself is that it has a DTS track now.
Excellent.
Which, if you have a DTS-enabled receiver, you know how good it is. Mm, good. Looks like it's got some extended scenes. It's got some extended scenes, and it's also got some extra featurettes. It's got one called The Filmmaker's Journey, which is about 20 minutes. Taking a Walk on Serenity, which is about 4. There's something called The Green Clan, which is about 3. And then Sci-Fi Inside on Serenity that's about 21 minutes long.
Nice.
Yeah, so... And it has... Okay, did any of you guys see the viral marketing that they did beforehand? It was River, the character of River, in her sessions.
Cool.
And it looks like they're including that as well.
Hmm.
So between that and then they... Oh, cast commentary. Yeah.
The whole cast?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
See, Nathan Fillion, Adam Baldwin, Summer Glau, and Ron Glass. So not the entire cast, but a good chunk of it.
This is going to put you back, what, $30 or...?
Looks like it's actually probably going to be about $20.
You're kidding.
Nice.
That's excellent.
And it's actually like a book. Like, it's a trifold book that opens out to have the two-disc set, and I'm just...
I wonder, who's happy. The Nazi who prices these things? Because something like this is probably like around 1999 or so. One of my favorite movies of 2 years ago, Woody Allen's Match Point, had no extras, no trailer. Yeah, it was 1999. Like, what the crap?
I thought it was the only one that liked that movie. I didn't know anyone else.
I love Match Point. I thought it was fantastic.
I enjoyed it. You know, the ending is really kind of a downer. And unless you know Woody Allen and know the history of who he is and stuff, it kind of makes a lot of sense. But that was a really good movie too, yes.
But it had no extras, and it's as much as this special Uber edition.
Yeah. Well, they've already made their money back on the first DVD. So
you wanted your money back, so you just sit there and watch the menu. The opera music.
Yeah. Like,
this is cool.
Wow. Okay, we've blown enough time on that. Let's go ahead and move to some news. Josh has some interesting news that, you know, it's the kind of news I never...
Match Point.
The news I never quite look for, but...
Yeah. You know. Well, the Jenna Jameson biopic, right?
Yes.
Is being made.
and she has a request of who to play.
She wants Scarlett Johansson to play her.
Okay, so how are you going to make and keep it like even rated R?
Yeah.
I'm just asking.
Scarlett, doesn't she not do nude stuff?
Not yet. She will. Nice. Her day is coming.
You think so?
After The Nanny Diaries is short a tank, then yes, I'm sure she'll be like Jenna Jameson.
That reminds me. Hollywood Stock Exchange. I need to short that one. We'll be getting to that in a little bit.
Oh, yes. Yes. Anyway.
Well, I think she'd be a good choice for Jane Jameson. No, I don't know. Who do you get to
play? Duff.
No. Lindsay Lohan. You know, who do you get to play Jenna Jameson?
Who would want to play Jenna Jameson?
Exactly.
You know, in all fairness, I have not read her best-selling book about her life and her experiences and whatnot. I'm just, would that make a great film? I mean, we're talking
What would it be?
On Skinamax?
We're talking like another Boogie Nights, right? I mean, isn't that how it would kind of play in a sense?
We're talking about
like the 80s porn years until now. But Jenna Jameson never crossed over the way everybody thought she would. I mean, granted, she's probably the one porn actress, like, you know, you go with like a lady after church, I know who Jenna Jameson is.
Yeah.
But I mean, but you know, she's still not, you know.
Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, well, I don't even know Ron Jeremy's Ron Jeremy. You know, it's like. I don't know. Like, she never became like the Jenny McCarthy of porn. You know? Like somebody who everybody knows and loves. Like, oh, okay, we don't mind that she's a porn actress. After all, it's her.
And I saw her at Comic-Con. She looked terrible.
Hmm.
We went into that press room. We found out what press room she was in. I was like, oh my god, we gotta go see Jenna Jameson. So we like ran over there and we opened the door and she was standing there doing interviews and we got kicked out. But it was so funny because there was like the room is like right where the line for the Heroes panel was, so it was like this huge line with all these people. I just wanted to be like, Jenna Jameson's in that room, and like watch all the geeks like, oh my god, like run up. It would have been awesome.
Did you say she was doing interviews or doing the interviewees?
Both.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Oh. Okay, bring up the more legit.
Scarlett is supposed to also be the femme fatale in the Spirit movie.
Which, is for those who don't know, is Will Eisner's great comic way back in, what, the 30s? Goes back that far, if not a little bit further.
Have they cast the lead yet for that movie?
I'm not sure.
Because they had a panel for that last year at Comic-Con.
I don't know. They're remaking Enter the Dragon.
Why?
Apparently it's going to be about like an FBI agent looking into an underground
country.
Okay, here's my question. Every week we get this, oh, they're going to remake that, this and that. But then months from now, we don't hear anything. Like, I haven't heard anything about the Escape from New York remake.
They've already cast the director.
They did? Okay, what about the Hellraiser remake? What about the Friday the 13th? You know, all the other remakes that are supposed to be coming, but yeah, that's Warriors, you know, it's like...
Yeah. No, it's true. It's like either they're dragging their feet or it's like they throw this news out to kind of test the waters and then...
Yeah.
And then they hear enough people, I guess, bitching and moaning about it, like, well, maybe it wasn't the greatest idea, so...
Who's the guy? They got Len Wiseman to do.
Right, so Wiseman's doing it, and apparently Butler's still doing it.
And wasn't Ridley Scott remaking The Warriors? And it was going to be set in... This is what I heard. And it was going to be set in California? And it was like going to be using real gangs, like totally not what the Warriors. Like why call it the Warriors? Why do that?
Why call it House of the Dead? Just saying.
Mr. Scott, please make another alien movie like you promised you would back in the 80s.
And don't go the Uwe Boll route, please.
Please. Please. You don't need to do the Warriors. You're Ridley Scott.
Okay. You know, okay, I didn't even have this in my news, but I have to bring it up because, you know, I had to go and mention Uwe Boll. Apparently, Wired Magazine saw Postal and gave it a much less than stellar review.
That's surprising.
Apparently, it opens with a scene which, you know, it's awful, but it actually, they said this is the one funny scene of the movie. It's the terrorists taking the plane into the building at 9/11, and they're arguing about how many virgins they're going to have in heaven.
Uwe Boll must be stopped.
Well, here's the funny thing. He emailed them calling them very many, many derogatory things and things that we can't see on the air without using the button. Okay. So, yeah, but I'm like, wow. Yeah, I mean, dude showed like even less class than we all thought he had. Like at first I thought, you know, okay, the guy understands exactly what he is. He's making German movies that aren't going to make money and he knows what he's doing.
But what is in it for him? Why is he such a douchebag? I was waiting for that. You know, like what does he get out of it? Does he just sit there and laugh?
I don't
know. And nobody sees my movies that I spend so much time on.
Yeah, like, it's one thing if he's like Lars von Trier's, like, you know, making movies that, like, you know, Americans hate or, you know, that have like a real standoffish relationship with audiences. But to make films that's like,
it's deliberately like bad.
Like, and up yours to the only people who'd even go to see his films.
Exactly.
Like, he doesn't even have any respect for his own films, is what it
seems. Yeah, because, I mean, like, his movies are for Americans with no taste, but this is like, even Americans with no taste would have the taste not to see his tasteless films.
Exactly. I mean, I now that we're at Screen Geeks, I'm officially calling it the Uwe Boll Memorial Worst Movie of the Year Award. That's just what it's going to be, you know, come the end of the year.
What we is the plot of Postal? Do we know?
Huh?
Do you know what the plot of Postal is?
Apparently it's a giant satire, kind of like trying to be like a Parker and Stone type movie, like Team America or something. But like it's the FBI trying to take down, you know, this cult that's led by Dave Foley, and it's just, it looks, it sounds awful. We should have
an Uwe Boll marathon. Just kidding.
Dude, you know, House of the Dead is worth watching, and the first like half of Alone in the Dark is good.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And Blood Rain is truly an interesting spectacle unto itself. Awful. Blood Rain 2 is coming direct to DVD.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah. I think it's in the next month or two.
I remember seeing a thing for
that. How did they get Gandhi to be...
You know, he actually took a question. I'll see if I can find it. But someone outright asked him, why did you do Blood Rain? He's like, I have to be really honest. I always wanted to play a guy and do a sword fight. I'm like, it was something really stupid like that. I'm like,
okay, well, okay, whatever gets you off, I guess.
The man has the credit that he can.
Ben Kingsley can really. He's like Chris Walken. He can really do whatever the heck he wants at this point.
Yeah, so. But okay. Do you have anything else
at all? No, okay,
I've only got two more. I got three more things, and we'll just cruise through them real quick. The new Tim Olyphant as the Hitman picture came out, and after seeing him in Die Hard, I just can't see him pulling off the badass that is the agent in Hitman.
He's being
the... Yes.
Wait. Is that the bad guy from Die Hard?
Yes, the main bad guy.
Yeah.
Man.
What?
Thank you.
No. No, I didn't know this.
Do you think like Vinnie Jones would have been a better choice? Like,
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
That's what I was thinking.
That's why I'm so... That Midnight Meat Train movie, he looks like he's going to be a total badass in it. And that's Vinnie Jones is
in real life.
Yeah. Yes, but this... What?
Yeah. And then finally, before we get to our column that we're going to talk about, apparently they're re-releasing Transformers in IMAX with extended footage.
Woo!
Because the movie wasn't long enough the first time.
Yeah, no joke. How long was it? Like two and a half hours,
yeah.
So now it's going to be clocking in just about 3 hours.
Probably. Maybe there's an extended golden shower scene.
You know, we can only hope. You know, it's funny. I firmly believe that I had a good time. I enjoyed Transformers for what it was. I don't know. You know, I'll probably pick it up at some point, but it's not going to be my top 10 at the end of the year.
I'm going to pick it up so I could hurl it into a dark, dark canyon.
Were we going to talk about the Batman picks?
Oh, yeah.
Batman pictures?
How did I miss that? We
should talk about the Batman picks, yeah.
The Dark Knight pictures that have been taken down everywhere but at Slash Film.
Yes. So go to Slash Film.
Yeah. We'll put the link up to the story if it hasn't been taken down by the time this posts. You get to see some Joker goodness.
I am so excited.
Oh, my gosh.
I gotta say, this looks like it's gonna be a pretty hairy movie.
I hope it is. Yeah. I really do.
I really am curious to see what they're gonna do with Two-Face, like what they're going to make him look like.
Yeah. Well, have they said, have they confirmed that Two-Face is indeed as Two-Face?
That's what, and so the, I guess Hardy is
playing Harvey Dent.
Yeah, and Two-Face as well. Oh, I know. Aaron was talking about, he was really looking forward to doing the Two-Face scenes. He had leaked something.
That's right. Okay, I remember that.
Plus the footage at Wizard World?
WonderCon.
Can't get these things straight.
I know.
I guess the footage like flipped a coin. It was a coin flip, and then you heard like, it showed the backside of Aaron Eckhart, and the guy's like, bartender's like, I thought you were dead, and he's like, I'm half here, or something like that. And it was like half of his face. So they hinted at it.
I wonder if they're going to do a thing where they set him up at the end, like we were all hoping Venom was going to have at the end of Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
So quick question: how many villains we got in The Dark Knight?
As of right now, Joker and Two-Face,
and
we have a third,
a Batman fake lookalike.
So he's probably going to, I'm guessing he'll end up being a henchman or something.
Yeah, he's going to get his ass kicked.
That's okay, though, but but you had two villains in Batman Begins.
Yeah, and it was perfect.
And it worked out well. So if they can work that same similar chemistry, I'm really thinking that they'll set up Harvey at the end, because part of the lore is that Joker kind of did that to Harvey. So
And they kind of had three villains in Batman Begins, because wasn't Ra's al Ghul two different people?
Yeah, you got Ken Watanabe.
Technically, huh?
Yes.
No, that's true. But
shut up.
Here's an idea. I think for the third Batman movie, playing the Penguin, Uwe Boll. Because we're already predisposed to hate him, so.
I was hoping that they'd do Death in the Family. And like bring in that one kid from High School Musical as Robin, and then beat him to death with a crowbar.
Clayface. I want to see Clayface in a Batman movie.
So we'll see where that goes.
Zac Efron is Robin.
Yes.
You heard it here first.
At least I didn't refer to him as other people.
What about Zach Braff?
He might be interesting as the Riddler. Okay, I'll leave that alone.
Yeah.
All right. So finally, my last thing I wanted to bring up is in the latest issue of Entertainment Weekly. Let's see. When is it dated anyway? I didn't even realize that was Sarah Silverman on the back of the cover. It's for August 24th. Mark Harris wrote an article called The Buzz Lightyear.
This is the fall movie preview issue with Reese Witherspoon on the cover.
Yes.
Looking fab.
Yes.
Yes.
And he brings up a very interesting point. This is a pretty record-breaking summer. We'll do our summer wrap-up maybe next week or something. Yeah. But, there were four movies that broke $300 million. Spider-Man 3, Shrek the Third, Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, and Transformers. He's saying that he thinks that all of them will wind up among the 25 highest grossers in history. But I have to agree, no one's going to care.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it. The movies that he brings up that are really good, I mean, you've got Ratatouille, The Simpsons movie, Knocked Up, Harry Potter, The Bourne Ultimatum. And then you got Shrek and Pirates, which Pirates I thought was great for the Gilliam-esque thing of Davy Jones' locker. I stand by that as one of the greatest scenes of the year, probably, but the rest of the movie just did not hold up. And I think it's rather interesting. You look at years when you have, Jurassic Park, as the one movie, or, Gladiator, or something like that, and there's just been no movie like that yet this year.
Honestly, I think this year's going to be Grindhouse. For nobody seeing it, I think it's going to be Grindhouse came out 2007.
I could see that.
With Transformers, it seems, is almost like getting an Independence Day, like Credence. It's like, no matter how stupid the movie is, people loved it to no end. And, I can see Transformers being the one summer movie that people kind of walk away from saying it was the summer movie of the year. But, yeah, other than, like, I mean, the stuff I think that's going to stick out to people is going to be stuff like Superbad, or even
Knocked Up.
Even 1408. But, yeah, compared to, like, Pirates 3 and Shrek 3, no.
No, I
Evan Almighty?
Even the fun stuff, I loved Live Free or Die Hard, and I thought that Ocean's 13 was a lot of fun, but up to like the great summer movies, no.
Yeah, so I think all these movies that we've mentioned are better than those top four, in my opinion. The more I thought about it, Die Hard was a better movie.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah, so, all right, yes, if you haven't read it, check it out. It's Mark Harris's column in the back of the issue of Entertainment Weekly for August 24th. So let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our main topic.
The new and improved Geek Label Radio. We've rebuilt it. Better. Stronger. Faster. Every week, join the Kingfish.
He likes to dip into the icky.
Super producer Billy Flynn.
Let me see if I can crack some code.
And the Vicar.
I give you the Vicar. The campaign artard.
As they rub down in Vaseline.
Holy crap.
No!
Evil, evil, evil.
Join hands.
So good, I actually now have to go home and clean my pants.
And share their feelings.
I was taking them on four at a time.
I don't remember any details.
In a totally non-threatening, hetero kind of way. Hear from industry veterans.
This is Tracy Hickman.
Hi, this is Jim Lee.
Hi, this is George Takei.
And your hosts, as they opine pointlessly.
Let's talk about farting in public.
Oh, let's.
Yes.
About comics, gaming, movies, and geekly news.
Orville Redenbacher has risen from the grave.
I knew it. You owe me $6.
Geek Label Radio.
I like it. It's good.
It's a total waste of time. But what the hell? So's EverQuest.
Oh, that just happened.
Another fine product from geeklabel.com.
Do a little dance.
Make a little love.
Get down tonight.
That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Our thanks to the Geek Label guys. I love that ad.
Yeah, that's good.
Especially Arnold Schwarzenegger doing this biography. No, 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 no.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right, so we have a topic this week. And in a way, it relates to the greatness that is Superbad.
Yes, yes. Well, as the song goes, school is out for summer, but unfortunately, it is not out forever. As we go back to school, and that includes me, I'm going back to school too, just tomorrow. We're going to talk about the great school movies. And we're not going to just talk about high school movies. No, no. We're going to talk about college movies. We're going to talk about grade school movies. I even have a kindergarten movie. We're just going to cover whole gamut. I do.
Is it the one I think it is?
It has to be.
Okay.
Yeah, it has to be. I can only think of one. So.
Kindergarten movie. Yes.
That's what it's called. It's actually the next one from the makers of Epic Movie. It's going to be kindergarten movie. Yeah, it's going to be directed by Uwe Boll.
Let's not give those Fox guys any ideas, really. They don't need our help.
Neverland movie.
Yeah, I'm starring Michael Jackson. Okay, sorry, my bad.
Getting this podcast out of the ruins.
Too late.
Yeah. I'm just going to throw up one of my favorite high school movies out there. I don't know if you guys have seen it. Have you guys seen Lucas with Corey Haim and Charlie Sheen?
Forever.
It's one of my favorite movies. I look at that movie and I'm like, okay, that was me when I was a kid, really. Yeah, one of my favorite high school movies, Lucas. Let's see, I'm going to dip back into the 80s and say Teen Wolf, one of the great films about teen alienation with Michael J. Fox.
Are you going to bring up Zapped next?
No, I'm not going to bring up Zapped. Definitely not a movie that reminded me of my high school life in any way, though I really wish it could have. I could have used some of that telekinetic Scott Baio power.
We're supposed to be doing stuff that relates to our lives because I'm guessing Red Dawn wouldn't quite. Wait, no.
Hey, watch it.
Hey, I'm right there with you. Okay, sorry. Keep going.
Red Dawn is awesome. Okay. Okay, we'll go with the obvious. John Hughes, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I think everybody I know wishes they were Ferris Bueller, but more people were more like Cameron.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Thankfully, I wasn't quite like Cameron. I was more like...
Were you Mr. Rooney?
Yeah, I was more like Ben Stein, actually. All right, okay. My brother Marty, a fan of our show, he wanted me to throw this one out. 3 o'clock High for all two of you in America. Remember 3 o'clock High?
I have no idea.
Yeah, okay. I have no idea. Thanks, Marty.
It's a cult movie.
You have to describe it now, though, because
it's so stupid. All right, it's about this incredibly nerdy guy. He pisses off the school bully, and the bully's like, "You're dead at 3 o'clock after school." So it's like he goes the whole day, like afraid that he's going to die. And the bully is played by the bad guy. And the other movie I'm going to mention, Kindergarten Cop, the only kindergarten movie I know of. Did you think I was going to say Daddy Daycare? Or?
No, I was hoping you were going to say Kindergarten Cop.
I was definitely going to say Kindergarten Cop
because it really isn't that great a movie, but it is so much fun.
I love Kindergarten Cop.
It's not a tumor.
Oh gosh, who is your daddy and what does he do?
Compared to The Pacifier or even like that one coming out with The Rock coming out, I will always stand by Kindergarten Cop.
You know, I have to say, I might actually have seen that one.
You know, me too.
The Rock, because I love The Rock. Well, when he's doing when he's doing the pitch for the commercials, catch the magic. I was just like, okay, I have to see.
Well, Julia loves The Rock, so
yes,
got to take my wife to see some rockness. All right, Mean Girls, one of the best.
Yes.
Not only one of the best films of 2004, one of the best high school movies ever. Definitely
the one highlight of Lindsay Lohan's career.
Oh yeah,
the one sole highlight.
Freaky Friday was fun.
Yeah, I was gonna say Freaky Friday was not bad at all.
Parent Trap.
No.
Willie Mills' version was so much better.
Yeah. Yes. Welcome to the Dollhouse. Did you guys see that? The first Todd Solondz movie about the horrors of junior high. A very, very dark, nasty movie. Okay, moving on. Let's go with teen sex movies. You can't go wrong there. Revenge of the Nerds. Love Revenge. To me, that is the Citizen Kane's of the 80s teen sex movies. Forget Porky's. Forget American Pie.
Porky's was such crap.
Porky's is garbage. I don't know why the movie was such a hit, but no, Revenge of the Nerds is still a killer. One that I'm sure everybody has seen, Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
Not everybody likes that movie.
I like them, but I can understand. You know, I mean, we had Bill and Ted, which is one we have to bring up too.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Yes,
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I mean, it's you had Strange Brew, then you had Bill and Ted, then you had Wayne's World, and now you can have Napoleon Dynamite.
I'm sorry, Bogus Journey. I'm a Bogus Journey person.
Are you?
You know, I used to be always with an Excellent Adventure, but I got to go with you. Bogus Journey is better.
So crazy.
Oh, it's fun.
It makes no sense.
This, just because they did the scene in the rock formation, that they did Star Trek. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah, you got that, and they, you know, they...
The death.
They basically beat their way into heaven. I mean, it's great. And they get to hell, and like, dude, this is not like our album cover. Yeah. This is great.
See, you're not such a bad guy. You got a bad rap.
Oh. You stole Dylan's Easter basket.
Yeah, all that stuff. I love that so much.
I love when it's like, you have to do infinity push-ups. Like, dude, what if we do girly style? Yeah, this is a classic movie. No, I agree. The Bogus Journey is better. Do you know the original title for that movie was Bill and Ted Go to Hell? But they wouldn't allow it because they, you know, hell. They can't say hell on TV back in the
Bogus
90s.
Journey is a lot
better. Yeah.
So, all right. Back to John Hughes, Pretty in Pink. A movie I could relate to even more because I did serve some detention time, The Breakfast Club.
Oh, I love that movie.
Love The Breakfast Club. Anybody see the remake of Pretty in Pink done by John Hughes called Some Kind of Wonderful with Eric Stoltz and Leah Thompson?
No.
Great film. I think it's actually much better than Pretty in Pink.
I do have a new crush on Leah Thompson, though, so I have to check that out.
You have to see it. Yeah, she's gorgeous in that movie.
After Howard the Duck?
Yes.
Okay.
Back to recent cold high school movies, Brick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's worth bringing up for sure.
Love Brick.
Yeah.
One of my all-time favorites.
I really like the style of it.
Yes.
Everything about it was really cool.
Yeah, great film noir throwback and just a really great thriller.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like realistic depiction of high school.
Not even close. I can't say my high school experience was quite like that. But
really, which one of these movies is realistic at all?
Well, there is that. I mean, Breakfast Club is probably the closest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because even Ferris Bueller is just so out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean... I wish I was as cool as Ferris Bueller. But no, I wish I had a friend like Ferris Bueller. My friends are more like the friends in Superbad, honestly.
Yes.
But all right, moving on to college movies. We'll get back to high school and all the others.
Oh, yeah, because I got another high school one.
Okay.
You got a bunch more, too.
Yeah, okay. You guys.
Here's a big one. Rushmore.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
I went to a private school. I knew kids like that. Oh. Like Max Fisher. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. An amazing movie. And, you know, it's just messed up, but it's fun.
Great film.
This kind of isn't a high school movie. Karate Kid.
Mm. I agree.
You know, with Mr. Miyagi and, you know, whatever. But, I mean, his high school experience totally sucked.
Did your high school have, like, a Cobra Kai walking around?
Totally.
Really?
All the time. No. I went to a Baptist private school, so. No.
Mm. I don't know. It wasn't Cobra Kai.
I was going to think of something inappropriate to say, but I got nothing. So
moving on.
Yeah. And the last one, going back to elementary school, just because I love talking about it, Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck.
There's one reason why I bring this up. Every time you go to a men's room and I see the little kid urinal, I can't help but think about the scene where he's got to go and he like ends up like going down on his knees just to be able to. I had to. Yeah,
that's a good high school.
I'm going to be the jerk and bring up some really bad movies. Snow Day with Chevy Chase.
Wow, man.
Oh, dude.
You remember that movie?
Yeah,
dude,
I saw Snow Day.
Yeah, I did too.
I got to say, I thought Chevy Chase was pretty funny, and he's the weatherman, right?
Yeah, you know, it's actually not that bad.
It's not as bad as like the other Nickelodeon movies, like Good Burger.
Yeah,
the Fordist Criterion coming out. Sorry,
but they have that.
No,
yeah, I was like, what the hell?
Over at DVD Talk, it's a running gag constantly.
Another bad one: Max Keeble's Big Move.
Oh, you know, dude.
Julia, my wife, has seen that movie.
I've seen it, too.
Is it good?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. Not really. I actually like this movie. Not really. It is a high school movie, but it doesn't take place in a high school movie. Empire Records. Remember the movie?
Gosh, I don't even remember that movie. I know Liv Tyler's in it.
Yeah, and it's really good. And I
remember
haven't
the
seen
soundtrack,
it forever.
Which I thought was pretty cool, but I don't remember the movie.
Let's see, The Faculty.
The Faculty.
Which I think is fun. I think is fun.
It is a fun movie.
It is. It's
absolutely
a good Robert Rodriguez movie, it is.
Yes.
And I know you guys haven't seen this, and you don't believe me, but The Girl Next Door.
I've seen it.
I love
it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Okay.
We have to talk about Red Dawn more, though.
Yeah, we do.
Wolverines, dude, like post-apocalyptic high school drama. How many of those have come out?
I got to say, the opening scene of that movie is still scary. I find it disturbing.
Absolutely.
You see, like, the paratroopers coming down in the recess area. I mean, that's creepy stuff.
Yeah, especially since we grew up in the Cold War era.
Well, we're living in a Colorado town, and that's exactly where it takes place.
That's very true.
Yeah, I mean, the movie looks like it's taking place here. I mean,
my school, because I went to school on the Air Force Academy, so that would have happened on there. At 9/11, I thought that's what was going to happen, was shit was going to start flying
Red
out.
They should remake Red Dawn now. I'm sure they'd be completely tasteless. Like an Al-Qaeda Red Dawn. But, I mean, I'd go see it. I'm not afraid to admit it.
I probably would, too.
It would be so wrong. It would be so inappropriate and so un-PC. But no, I would definitely go see Red Dawn.
I'd see it. Did you guys ever see The Perfect Score?
Scarlett Johansson.
Was that good at all?
Erica Christian. It wasn't... You know, it's like... it's kind of like a movie I'll bring up, High School Musical. Like, I don't regret having seen it, but unless people remind me, I always forget that I've seen it.
What about Swim Fan? Did you ever see Swim Fan?
No, I did not.
No. I actually thought that was decent. I thought it was interesting.
Cool. That was a Fatal Attraction for kids, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Wow. I have a TV show that we have to bring up because otherwise we'll get voicemail. We might anyway, but Parker Lewis can't lose.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Degrassi Junior High.
No, not going there. I'm sure Josh doesn't even remember this show at all.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
They came out at the same time, Parker Lewis Can't Lose, and the TV version of Ferris Bueller. Yeah, and Ferris Bueller only lasted like about 4 or 5 episodes, but Parker Lewis Can't Lose was on for a while. It was Corey Nemec, right?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember what else he was in one movie that I can't remember.
A TV Ferris Bueller?
Oh, yeah.
They really did that?
Yeah, it was Charlie Schlatter, yeah.
Awful. But Parker Lewis Can't Lose is kind of like, it's almost a James Bond meets high school type thing. I like, it's a vague memory, but I remember loving this show.
Okay, well, since you went in that direction, I'll bring this up. Does anybody remember? This was one of the first Fox TV shows. See if Dave remembers this.
Oh, no.
The Adventures of Beans Baxter.
I totally...
Yes! You remember it!
Oh, my
I used to watch The Adventures of Beans Baxter. I love that show. It only lasted, I think, like maybe 10
It was like
episodes.
A ripoff of Parker Lewis in some ways.
It was before Parker Lewis.
Yes.
It was almost kind of like a one-man Goonies in a way. It was a really goofy show. And Kurtwood Smith, I think, was in it at one point. But yeah, it wasn't great, but boy, was it fun.
Okay, I'm sorry to take us down this, but if we're going to keep going to school...
Let's just keep digging.
We got to say Erie, Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
No, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, the great Joe Dante produced show. Yeah.
Oh, Joe Dante produced that?
Yes, he did.
I still remember the show about the twins who looked like they were stuck in the 50s and found out it was because they had magic, you know, man-sized Ziploc that they'd sleep in at night. And
creepy.
Yeah, it was really weird.
I didn't see that.
You can get the entire series, I think, at Best Buy for like $20.
Are you
like,
serious? At Best Buy?
Yeah, but the transfer is... Eh.
Yeah, that's what you were saying, that it wasn't as good as you'd hoped.
Yeah, but still. it's a fun trip. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to, hijack the entire discussion.
That's good stuff.
Are we moving on to college now?
Sure. Well, should we mention Greece?
Yeah.
I mean...
Do we have to?
No, let's move on to college.
Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry, I hate Grease.
All right. Well, let's start with before we get to the obvious college movie of choice, we got to talk about the movies that make college look like pure hell. I'm going to start with John Singleton's Higher Learning with everybody from Jennifer Connelly to Ice Cube. You see that movie, you will not want to go to college. I know what I'm talking about. I saw it like right before I went to college. I'm like, is college going to be like that? And also, Bret Easton Ellis's The Rules of Attraction. Definitely a movie to scare anybody away from college.
Yes.
But, of course, there's Animal House, which makes you go, well, college has got to be a lot of fun, so let's go to college.
You know, Animal House. If I can interject real quick, we've been talking about nothing but comedies outside of Red Dawn, which could be construed as a comedy, I guess. But how do we miss Dead Poets Society?
Yeah, Dead Poets Society.
That's like, I loved that film.
Cause it's so
like,
inspiring.
Is Finding Forrester a kind of a...
Yeah.
College. Along with its predecessor, you know, Good Will Hunting.
You know, we're leaving out the Teach It in the Hood movies. We're leaving out To Serve with Love.
The Substitute.
The Substitute, Dangerous Minds.
One and two.
And three, I think.
Yeah.
I think there's a third one, yeah. And this year's Freedom Riders, which is a great movie, terrible title. What else? There's so many of those bad movies.
Yeah.
Well, now they're doing...
Step Up.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, now they're doing like...
The dance
movies. All the dance movies, yeah. And I actually watched... Stomp the Yard. Forgot to tell you guys that.
You saw Stomp the Yard.
I watched Stomp the Yard.
You poor soul.
Because, side note, my mom flew out Darren Henson one time to teach a class for us. And
dance instructor. She probably
my mom's
that,
a dance
instructor.
Yeah, sorry. And so anyway, she rented it to watch him and she loved it for some reason. I was just sitting there going, oh my God, am I really watching this? I mean, the dancing's kind of cool, but it was just like, so...
Sister Act 2. There's a high school movie.
Wait, yeah.
No, let's... Okay.
That is a high school movie.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Okay, let's go into college because we're going to start.
Okay, well, you know, is there a better... although I love Night of the Creeps personally. Is there a better college movie than National Lampoon's Animal House?
You'd be hard-pressed to...
Seriously. I mean, I watched the movie when I was in college. And I'm just like, you know, if nothing else, I'm so glad I'm in college because of this movie. I had a John Belushi Animal House poster in my room. I had even before I saw the movie. I mean, Animal House to me is so much a part of the college experience. I had a toga night in college. I'm not going to say what else I did that was just like Animal House. But still, Animal House is, to me, it represents the best of the college experience, you know, about coming of age and... killing horses, you know, just... I'm kidding.
Wow.
But seriously, killing horses?
You know, and okay, dang it, I keep coming up with things. These are two last things I'm going to bring up that are remotely high school related. I'm sorry to keep going back to it.
It's okay.
The Wonder Years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about coming of age?
One of the 10 best shows of all time, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And Freaks and Geeks, Judd Apatow.
Yeah. Freaks and Geeks, good show.
With Seth Rogen.
Was he in it?
Yes.
I never watched it.
Was it
good?
Yeah.
It's very short
it's
hair.
It's a very interesting show.
He looked very sober, which is kind of disarming to look now.
But, you know, I mean, Freaks and Geeks had it was very short-lived, but it has a very big cult following. And with all the Apatow we've been talking about lately, we got to mention it.
Well, speaking of high school shows, My So-Called Life.
Yes.
Which I really enjoyed a lot, actually.
Yes. Okay.
I can't think of any more
TV Okay, shows. I think I'm done with the TV shows.
Did you guys like Old School?
I liked Old School. I liked it better the second time, honestly. The first time, I just thought it was a little overrated, but it's like the funny parts are so funny.
Yeah.
And those three leads are so perfectly picked.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
Have you guys seen probably the best Teach It in the Hood movie ever, Lean on Me with Morgan Freeman?
I thought you were going to say High School High.
Yeah, I thought so too. I was like, John Lovitz?
That movie is funny for about an hour. You know why it's bad? It actually, towards the end, it becomes serious.
Yeah.
Kid you not, it takes itself seriously at the end. Like, you're kidding. You guys, remember, this is a comedy now. Yeah.
Wow. No, I have not seen that.
Yes, Stand By Me. It's
Lean
almost,
on Me.
I mean, Lean on Me.
Lean on Me.
Wow. I was thinking of One Wild Crazy Summer, so.
Oh, with John Cusack.
Yes.
Wow,
how we miss the Cusack movies?
How do we miss the Cusack
movies?
Good
Lord, there's too many of these movies. I mean, especially...
Gross Point Blank, the great high school reunion movie.
Better Off Dead.
Romy Michelle being the worst high school reunion movie. Better Off Dead.
Better Off Dead is amazing.
Crazy Summer.
Okay, here's a good question. If you had to pick one of these movies to actually... If you had to go back and relive high school, but you had to do it through a movie...
Ferris
Bueller. Which one...
Sorry, there's only one answer. Unless you really want to do Red Dawn, then I'm kind of worried.
Well, you know, I think it just, I always thought it'd be kind of weird to see like a girl in a body bag outside my classroom. So I'm going to say Nightmare on Elm Street.
You'd want to live through that?
If I can live through, if guaranteed I can live through Elm Street, I see that. I would do that. But if
physically,
I knew,
but mentally.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't mind living next door to a porn star, so.
Girl next door.
Oh, okay. You're like, that wasn't a Nightmare on Elm Street.
It was part seven. No.
Okay. All right, college movies. Keep going. I'm sorry. I keep hijacking it. Oh.
No. You know, there's so many of those movies.
It's funny. Initially, you think, you're like, oh, there haven't been that many. You start talking about them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Speaking of the kid from Erie, Indiana, he's in one of my favorite high school movies, Joe Dante's movie Matinee, which even though it's, you know, primarily about, you know, William Castle, it's about the Cuban Missile Crisis and being a high school kid during that period. And
absolutely.
I think it's one of the best things about that movie.
Absolutely. Either that, ooh, maybe Iron Giant.
Yeah.
That might be a good one to live through. Okay. Dang it. Curse you for asking that question.
Sorry.
Curse you. So, okay, actually, you know what? We want to hear what everyone else thinks, too. So go ahead and post that in the thread when we post this up. You know, I want to hear what if you could pick a high school movie to live through, or college, you know, whichever.
Yeah.
I want to know what and why. I'm really curious to see what kind of responses we get.
Can't even believe you said Nightmare.
If I could live through, like, experience a high school movie, like virtual reality, it would be Nightmare on Elm Street. But the movie that reminds me of my high school years was Lucas. And how about yourself?
I don't know. Idle Hands? No.
Whoa.
I have no idea. I had a really interesting high school.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me think about that.
Okay, Dave?
I hated high school, and I've tried to block it out mentally, so I try not to think about it as much as possible.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I think as far as... I don't know. I have no idea.
You say the girl next door, I was going to be like, whoa.
No. Yeah. No, I had a lot of fun, and I had some very interesting teachers, so probably Mean Girls.
Hmm.
I obviously am not a girl, hopefully, but... I think that just the way some of the characters interacted and stuff, I could see that being my high school.
Sure.
Cool.
I don't know.
All right. Cool. Shall we wrap up the topic for this week?
Yes. And please send us your emails about anything you have to say about this topic.
Absolutely. All right. Let's go ahead and talk about what's coming out in theaters next week. Wow, this is a really bad week.
We've got 1 week to go before we see Rob Zombie's Halloween, which looks genuinely interesting. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the last summer movie, because that's the last one on the list. So we should probably wait till September, I think.
Yeah.
But thankfully.
At least there is one, because I'm like, there's nothing now.
this week is piss poor. Speaking of which, one of the biggest hits internationally last year is finally coming to American shores, a sequel 10 years late, Mr. Bean's Holiday. The forever pushed back The Nanny Diaries, starring the would-be Miss Jameson, Scarlett Johansson, and Why You In This, Laura Linney. The critically acclaimed Resurrecting the Champ, starring Josh Hartnett and Samuel L. Jackson. John Voight in the Why You In This Movie of the Year, September Dawn. Jet Li, Jason Statham. What it isn't good for.
Wow. That's already coming out? Like, the posters just came up like a month ago.
I was like, what's this? Oh, it's here already.
Yeah. I'm like, Jason Statham and Jet Li, I have to see it.
But then I saw the poster, you know, where their heads are really close to each other and they're kind of gazing at each other. In the background, it's like red fire, but it looks kind of like roses. I'm like, is this like Brokeback Mountain 2? Like,
Hong Kong Boogaloo?
Could be.
Oh, and then you got September Dawn, the one about the cannibalistic Mormons, right, which apparently the Mormons aren't too happy about.
Well, but I hear people who even have seen the movie aren't too happy about it either. So,
okay, I just...
Yeah, apparently looks terrible. Nanny Diaries, which I was excited about until I saw the trailer.
Oh, the trailer looks awful.
It looks awful because it's a good book. I've actually read the book that it's based on. It's a really good book, and I liked Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
Liked. And now...
until this and Scoop.
This
was Scoop that bad too?
Scoop was a real low point. It was a low point for Woody Allen. It was a low point for her. It was just...
And Hugh Jackman?
Hugh Jackman wasn't bad, and Woody Allen wasn't bad. But it's like, you remember how good like Johansson was in Match Point?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like one of her best performances. Then in Scoop, it's like a high school level of professionalism.
Oh.
It was so
lame.
So lame.
That sucks. I really want to see Resurrecting the Champ. It looks really interesting.
I've heard it's excellent. It premiered at the Maui Film Fest. It got great reviews, and like all the reviews have been just glowing over this film. This is one of Sam Jackson's best performances in a long time.
Besides Black Snake Moan, I hear that was really good.
Yeah, I've not seen that yet.
Yeah, me
need
either.
To rent that.
Yeah, see, it's like everyone. That's the one movie everyone said is so good. I still have not seen it.
Yeah.
And well, if the theatrical releases are lacking, you know, the next week's DVD releases aren't. Well, okay, there's like two really good releases, but still,
there are next week's DVD releases. You got one of the best documentary features of the year. Not even kidding, Eric Guitar Nation. If you don't know or don't care about anything in that title, see Eric Guitar Nation. It's one of the funniest films of the year. A film that has some of the biggest laughs of the year, but I wouldn't say it's one of the best comedies.
Yeah.
But all the same, it's a reliable laugh getter. You've got John Heder and Will Ferrell in Blaze of Glory. Not one of the funniest films of the year. Kicking it old school.
It couldn't be much worse than his performance at E3. Have I shown you that?
No.
I'll show you afterwards. Oh,
okay.
It hurts. Yeah.
Good, because I need some hurting.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Molly Shannon in Mike White's Year of the Dog, which I've heard very mixed things about. And you Hero Nuts, Heroes Season 1 finally gets released on DVD.
And I got to add this, South Park Season 10.
Oh, that wasn't on the list. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
South Park
Season 10 with a bunch of good episodes on it.
Hmm.
So Heroes, if you haven't seen it, it's well worth checking out. You have to be willing to watch the entire season because there are times when there isn't a whole lot of character movement in an episode. We'll just say there's not a whole lot of resolution.
What's your favorite character arc in that show? What's your favorite?
Hero. Hiro Nakamura, he is like the uber geek nerd guy, and like he has there's a blog like written from the perspective of the characters, and Hiro's thing at one point he makes a Dungeons and Dragons Advanced Edition 2 like character sheet of himself, like I'm like, and he's such a sweet guy and you just can't help but like him. Peter Petrelli's awesome. You know, all the characters you either love or hate, they've really developed all the characters out pretty well. I was really rather surprised by that.
Cool. Are you a Heroes fan?
I have not seen any of it. I've actually, no, I take that back. I've seen the first episode on a plane.
It's kind of like watching Lost or 24 in the middle of the season. You're going to, what the heck happened?
Well, and I can't, I mean, I'm starting school. I don't have time to just delve into a season of a show. But
yeah.
I want to really, really bad. I really want to see it. So
you'll get hooked as soon as you start watching.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's with me and anything.
Exactly. Cool. Okay. Let's see here. Air Guitar Nation. We talked about kicking it old school.
You know, Blades of Glory. I will agree with you. I was really surprised with that movie. I did not want to go see it at all.
I thought it'd be really bad. It's not terrific, but it's
It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Well. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. As always, you can always email us. If you'd like to catch Barry or I, you can email us, barryordave@screengeeks.com. If you'd like to give us some feedback, hit us at podcast@screengeeks.com, and we have voicemail. So if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, any famous directors, I don't know that we're, never mind. Yeah. Go ahead and give us a call, 719-966-4307, and we will definitely play anything that comes on. And so until next week, this is Dave.
I am McLovin.
This is Josh.
Thanks for joining us from firstshowing.net.
Thank you.
And we will catch y'all next week.